Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In keeping with Romans 15 and verse 4, where we learn the things written aforetime or for our learning, we turn to a study of an Old Testament character and find valuable lessons from his life that we need to learn and apply to our own. The person is Hezekiah, king of southern Judah. Hezekiah was of the Davidic lineage, serving as king long after the nation of Israel had divided into the two nations of northern Israel and southern Judah. Of the 20 kings listed for Judah, Hezekiah is number 13, if you include that woman, Athaliah, as a monarch, which most listings do. The father of Hezekiah was Ahaz, a very wicked and disobedient king who led Judah further and further away from God. Hezekiah became king at the age of 25, and he reigned for 29 years. It was at a time when northern Israel was on the brink of their self-imposed destruction because of their rebellion against God. Naturally, this put great pressure on the southern kingdom over which Hezekiah ruled. Judah was following the same digressive path as Israel, and Hezekiah was determined to do something about it. Of the 20 kings of Judah, only 6, sometimes some count 8, received very favorable marks as far as their service to God was concerned. But Hezekiah was one of the 6. Our lesson is centered on the efforts he made to bring about a revival of obedience and a return to the ways of righteousness in Judah. Let us make note of 7 things that he did and observe the result. First, 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 3 says, "He opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them." Now his father had shut the temple, had mutilated the vessels and the sacred furniture, and allowed the physical condition of the temple to deteriorate. Ahaz had also driven the priests from their duties, preventing them from functioning as the law of Moses instructed, and in fact, many instances, he terminated their work altogether. Now Hezekiah comes upon the scene, and he reopens the temple, making it ready for the priest and the people to worship again as God had directed. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 35. In principle, friend, we must do the same thing today. The house of God is not now a physical temple, but it is the church. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. The doors of the kingdom were opened by the apostles on the day of Pentecost, Christ having given the keys of the kingdom to them for that very purpose. What the inspired men of God bound and loosed is what God had bound and loosed in heaven previously. By the preaching of the gospel, the doors were flung wide and invitations extended for whosoever will to enter therein. And in a sense, we open the doors of the house of God every time the gospel is preached, and people are urged to obey and come to Christ. We tell the loss of the grace of God, the sacrifice of Christ, the terms of pardon. While denominational efforts have mutilated the doctrine the church is to uphold, we must repair that which has been desecrated by renewed vigor in preaching the word. But again, Hezekiah encouraged the priest in their work. 2 Chronicles 29:11 tells us, "My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him and to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense." These priests needed encouragement after what Ahaz had done to them. But now, under Hezekiah's influence, they were reinstated to their duties. They had drifted into sinfulness. They needed to cleanse and sanctify themselves, renewing their allegiance to the Father. And we need to encourage each other, for we are all priests of God if we be in His church. Revelation 1 and verse 6, "He made us to be a kingdom, to be priests unto His God and Father." We encourage each other by bearing each other's burdens, praying for one another, ministering to the needs of each other, offering comfort and kindness and helpfulness, lifting the fallen, strengthening the weak. Fellowship in the Lord's family is one God-given source of benefit that we ought never to neglect, and we ought to always give and partake of these things as we sojourn together. But third, Hezekiah went to the house of the Lord and worshipped. The scripture says the king and all that were with him bowed themselves and worshipped. You see, it was not enough just to encourage others to their duty. It was needful for Hezekiah to attend to personal duty as well. He worshipped, as well as others. He sang praises to God. He offered the sacrifices through the priest. He humbled himself before God. He preached, as it were, the sermon that all needed to hear by example. He realized that you cannot lead where you will not go. So he showed the right way, as well as telling people the right way. And should we not do as much? Are we not commanded against forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, Hebrews 10:25? Is it not inconsistent that those who profess to be Christians have to be urged to be respectful of the opportunities to worship God? Why is it when preachers preach the needed sermons on attending the worship services that some so-called Christians ask, "Does this mean Sunday night also?" You know, friend, devoted Christians do not ask such things. They look upon worship periods as privileges, not just a cold, hard duty, though a duty it is. They engage in the avenues of worship that the New Testament authorizes with joy and with happiness. It is not drudgery for them to express their love and praise of God. We once heard a person say, "I can go to heaven and never go to church." Well, one does not just go to church, if you please. We go to worship. And friend, you can't go to heaven and not worship as God has directed. And He has directed that one assemble with the saints for worship. Just how one expects to negate God's instructions and still be pleasing to God is bewildering, to say the least. Failure to obey God in worship is to show disrespect and disobedience, whereas worship is designed to give honor and glory and praise and love toward God. Christians are to set the example like Hezekiah did, and show others what it is that God wants. Our friends, our children, the lost, everyone needs to know that we think seriously of the privilege to worship God. But the fourth thing that Hezekiah did was to invite others to worship. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters unto Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem and to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 1. Everyone was invited. The division of the land did not prevent him from urging all to do what God wanted. Invitations were sent throughout all Israel, from Beersheba to Dan, 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 5. As could be expected, some scorned his invitation, but not everybody. So Hezekiah did what he could by pleading and warning and inviting others to return to the ways of the Lord. Now it might seem a little thing to some to extend an invitation to others to serve God, but it is no little thing. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Christ invited. We are urged to go into the highways and byways and bring them in. Shall we allow the millions of lost people to live around us and die and never mention to them about their souls or their duty to God through Christ? Yes, some will laugh, some will mock, some will scorn. But what of that? We will have done what God wants. And in addition to that, some will heed the invitation and come into good favor with God because we showed enough love to invite them to come. The fifth action of Hezekiah was to give support to the work of God. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep And the princes gave unto the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep, and a great number of the priests sanctified themselves. 2 Chronicles 30:24. You notice, friend, that these things are things that he did. He acted. Worship required certain things. Doing the work had its demands. It called not only for Hezekiah's time and thought and energy, but also his good deeds. And he gave. He appointed also the king's portion of his substance for burnt offerings. The Lord's work still requires gifts. God looks to the saved to do the work of the church, the work that the church is authorized to do. He does not look to those outside the church to support the work of the church. But this demands money from the purses of Christians. Christian giving is not through merchandising and sales and pie suppers and gimmicks and such as that. The funds needed are to be raised through free will offering. 1 Corinthians 8:1-3 and 1 Corinthians 9:6-7. And we lay up treasures in heaven when we give for the work of God. But Hezekiah's sixth action was a negative one. Not only did he do the positive things that were necessary to see that things were right before God, but he also opposed evil and attacked error. The entire 31st chapter is given over primarily to the deeds of Hezekiah that he made in fighting evil. He hewed down the idols. He broke down the altars where false worship was offered. He destroyed the evidences of disobedience. He knew it was not enough just to be good and do what was right. He knew the obligation to wage war against the forces of wickedness. It is tragic that some, even in the church today, have the idea that we must only be positive in our spiritual life. They fail to realize that we are in a spiritual combat with weapons provided for us by the Lord for both offensive and defensive action. We are to preach and act positively, to be sure, but we are also to be negative toward all that which is wrong before God. Ephesians 5:11 not only tells us to refrain from fellowshipping that which is in darkness, but we must also rebuke that wickedness. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, Paul said, but rather reprove them. Some have such a distorted concept of what they call love that they do not even wish to offend the devil. They think that love means not to oppose anything, even wickedness, even false ways. Friend, God hates sin. He hates every evil way. Shall we do less? Do we show love for God when we coddle the very thing that he hates, the very thing that destroys the souls of people that we say we love? Love will demand of us a negative approach toward wrong, just as it demands a positive approach toward right. And anything less is only halfway, and it will not suffice. It is sad and a sure sign of digression when brethren are heard to call for a cessation of negative preaching. And to the credit of Hezekiah, he did what he did with all his heart. 2 Chronicles 31:21, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Hezekiah was devoted. He was consecrated. He put the Lord first. And he did what he did with vigor, with diligence, with all of his might and conviction. He did not do his task in a half-hearted, lukewarm, timid sort of way. He really meant what he undertook to do. He gave it 100% effort. And this certainly contributed to the measure of success that his efforts produced. Now, friend, we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Matthew 22:37. In fact, we're to be a people zealous of good works. Titus 2:14. We have no right to go about the Lord's business in a trifling and sloppy manner. Our attitude must be that we will do everything that we do that's worth doing with our very best energies and efforts and devotion. This was characteristic that the Apostle Paul had when he was Saul of Tarsus, before he was converted. He was sincere and honest and dedicated, even though he was wrong. But once in Christ, he kept this same marvelous and commendable characteristic and used it in doing what was right. Now the results of Hezekiah's work was that there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, there was not like this in Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 26. Friend, Hezekiah wrought that which was good and right and true before the Lord, and Scripture says he prospered. Now with that same kind of effort, we can enjoy the same kind of result. We may be inclined to desire the result, but somehow not make the effort. This will not be productive, and we will be disappointed if that's the path we follow. But when we put forth as did Hezekiah, we too shall reap as we have sown, and God's name will be glorified, and we shall be saved. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.